Yogena. Nistirya Brahma Helanam. Pradyeshyatam Nikasham Me. Kalena Pyasa Punaha. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Vijay, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmins, and within a very short time return to me. The Lord then said to his attendants, Jai and Vijay, depart this place, but fear not. All glory is unto you. Though I am capable of nullifying the Brahmin's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advised the two doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, that by dint of bhakti yoga in anger, they would be delivered from the curses of the Brahmins. Srila Madhva Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a Brahma shap, or curse by a Brahmin, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. One can practice bhakti yoga in many rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. The 5 primary rasas constitute direct bhakti yoga. But although the 7 secondary rasas are indirect, they are also counted within bhakti yoga if they are used in the service of the Lord. In other words, bhakti yoga is all-inclusive. If one somehow or other becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes engaged in bhakti yoga, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Krodham Payam. The gopis were attracted to Krishna by bhakti yoga in the relationship of lusty desire, kama. Similarly, Kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death. Thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. It is said, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deva Asurastad Vipanyaya. Devotees of Lord Vishnu are called demigods, whereas non-devotees are called asuras. But bhakti yoga is so powerful that both demigods and asuras can derive its benefits if they always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The basic principle of bhakti yoga is to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Man mana bhava mad bhakta, always think of me. It does not matter which way one thinks. The very thought of the Personality of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. In the material planets, there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a Brahmin or a Vaishnav is the most sinful. Here it is clearly stated that one can overcome even that grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu, not even favorably, but in anger. Thus, even if those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu, they become free from all sinful activities. Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
From the statements of the Bhagavatam, it appears that if one thinks of Krishna even as an enemy, that particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Vijay, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of sin of disobeying the Brahmins, and within a very short time return to me. These wonderful verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Vishnu he is giving his blessings to Jai and Vijay to fall down to the material world. In fact, in the previous verse, he tells them that you depart this place, you go to the material world, but have no fear. All glories to you. Though I am capable of nullifying the Brahman's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. Achintya Shakti. Krishna is inconceivable. His power is inconceivable. And oftentimes, his will is inconceivable. Here the Lord is giving his very, very heartfelt blessings and his approval that his two associates enter into the material existence. And he promises them this: although you have been cursed by these Brahmins due to your offense to them, I give you this benediction, which will counteract and supersede all of the negative qualities of your sinful activities. And that is that I give you this benediction that you will always be thinking of me, that you will never forget me, that in each of your three consecutive lives as demons, you will be constantly absorbed in thoughts of me. And therefore, simply by remembrance of the Supreme Lord, one is freed and cleansed of all illusion. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andakar Yahan Krishna Tahana Himaya Arikar. Just as the sun, when it rises, all darkness is automatically removed. In the same way, when the remembrance of Krishna, which is like the brilliant sun, rises within the heart through our remembrance, then all ignorance, all darkness, all sinful desires are dispelled. He is explaining to them that because you will be in the form of demons, obviously you will not be able, by your natural constitution, to think of me favorably. But I bestow this boon upon you, that you will always be absorbed in me in great anger. So they appeared as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and then Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and next Dantavakra and Shishupal. When Shishupal was killed at the Rajasuya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhisthira by the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Sri Krishna, Maharaj Yudhisthira saw a wonderful event take place. He saw the light of the soul. As it was departing from Shishupal's body, it entered into the body of Lord Sri Krishna, which means he attained the state of liberation. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was inquiring, how is this possible? He was a great demon. He was a terrible asura. He was constantly envious and blasphemous of the Lord. How is it that such a person attained a destination that even great self-controlled, offenseless beings who strive for hundreds and hundreds of births never achieve? And Narada Muni replied to Maharaj Yudhisthira that this Shishupal was such a great personality. I only wish I could think of Krishna with such intensity as feeling as he did. His mind was constantly consumed with the thought of Krishna, even though it was in anger and envy. His full concentration was always in Krishna. And therefore, although he had to meet the gruesome death of having his head severed from his body due to his offenses, what remained after that painful experience was only all of the credits that he achieved by remembering Krishna and by constantly thinking of his holy name. And therefore, he achieved the liberated state of consciousness. This is the power of Krishna consciousness. And of course, Srila Prabhupada has often told us in his writings that if by thinking of Krishna unfavorably one can attain such great mercy of the Lord, what to speak of those devotees who are favorably, with humility and love, always aspiring to think of Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is the supreme perfection, the culmination of all the yogic system. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that the basic principle of Bhakti Yoga is to always think of Krishna. The process of chanting the holy names is the most simple and sublime and the most expedient means of always remembering Krishna. Hearing the glories of the Lord is such a powerful way of always remembering Krishna. And anyone or anything that has the good fortune of somehow or other remembering Krishna is supremely and eternally benefited. And this is the greatness of coming to the holy Dham of Vrindavan, is that it becomes so natural to always think of Krishna. Especially people from the Western world. Srila Prabhupada, you know, he underwent tremendous amount of endeavor to build beautiful, wonderful temples for his worldwide disciples in the holy places of Vrindavan and Mayapur. And actually, he ordered that every single one of my disciples, if it is at all possible, every year must spend 1 month in these two holy places, 2 weeks in Vrindavan and 2 weeks in Mayapur. Unless you have absolute service where you cannot depart from it, everyone should come. He considered it to be so important, and he personally would come, and he would give the classes every morning, oftentimes every evening. And I remember I was living at New Vrindavan when these beautiful temples were first built, the first Gaura Purnima festival in Mayapur, the grand opening of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And I remember how the devotees, how they responded when they returned. They just couldn't believe it, how easy and natural it was to think of Krishna in these holy places. Because, you know, in the Western world, everything is opposing Krishna consciousness. It is a fight. It is a struggle against Maya to think of Krishna even for a moment. It's a battle, a severe battle. When you're out preaching, everything around you is trying to drag your mind away from Krishna. The natural thing to do is think about sense gratification. It's everywhere, it's all around you. And it created such faith in the process of Krishna consciousness to see how there is a civilization on this earth where everyone is naturally thinking of Krishna, where the entire atmosphere of the holy dham is conducive to nothing but thinking of Krishna, where everyone is walking down the street greeting one another with Jai Radhe, or Hare Krishna, or Hari Bol, where everything you see, the peacock, the holy kuns, the kalpa vriksha trees, the very soil, the sand, the dust of Vrindavan, the garments of all the people who are walking by, the construction of the buildings, temples, 5,000 temples, everything simply brings your heart closer to Krishna. It is so easy, it is so natural to think of Krishna in Vrindavan. And somehow or other, this atmosphere of Vrindavan is meant to be created wherever we go. Srila Prabhupada actually said each and every one of his temples was none different than Vrindavan. You have heard that Prabhupada, he has written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that New Vrindavan in West Virginia of America is none different than the Vrindavan in India. But factually, oftentimes Prabhupada would say every single one of his temples was non-different than Vrindavan in India. Not only the Vrindavan in India, but the Vrindavan of the spiritual world, Goloka. Because it is the place where Radha and Krishna are present, presiding. And it is the place where everyone is simply engaged in their loving service. There's no other activity, there's no other words, there's no other thoughts, but the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And therefore, each and every one of our temples is meant to be a holy dham, where it is natural to always think of Krishna, where it becomes the very conditioned nature due to the atmosphere to never forget Krishna. And the power of remembering Krishna is the great blessing of the Vaishnavas. Because it is through the devotees of the Lord that we have a means of always remembering Krishna. Without the association of such devotees, it is practically impossible in this age to keep our mind fixed on Krishna. Therefore, Krishna told Narada Muni, Tatra tishtami Narada, yatra gayanti madbhakta. that you will find me eternally residing wherever my devotees come together to chant my names. The association of devotees really only has one purpose, to help one another to always think of Krishna. If in the association of devotees we're discussing or performing any activities that does not help us remember Krishna, it is not at all the association of devotees. It is simply another form of maya. When we criticize others, when we gossip, when we talk all nonsense, when we engage in sensory activities, even amongst other devotees, we are not associating with devotees. We are simply associating with maya. We shouldn't fool ourselves. We are associating with devotees to the extent and to the degree that our words and our activities are keeping our mind fixed in Krishna, in the service of Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught by his example that anyone can become a Vaishnava if they simply receive the blessings of another Vaishnava to always remember Krishna. And anyone can become a great preacher if they simply receive the blessings of a Vaishnava and are always inspiring others to remember Krishna. That is the qualification. It is not that we need great scholarship. We do not need master's degrees or PhDs. We do not have to be great scholars of languages. We do not have to take birth in a high family of Brahmins or Vaishnavas. The only necessary qualification is that we submissively receive the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And how do we receive those blessings? By hearing from them, and by always remembering Krishna. And if anyone simply accepts these principles, they will be empowered to be great preachers in this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated in so many wonderful ways how this is possible. Srila Haridas Thakur was an outcast, an untouchable by social standards. But Mahaprabhu established him as the Nam Acharya, as the first and foremost person to constantly remind all people of the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. Another example is given in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a small child, oftentimes he would play with his friends on the banks of the river Ganges. And, of course, most of his friends were from Brahmin, very sophisticated and very learned Brahmin families, because he was also from that caste. Haribol. So, one day, a group of dogs were playing close to where Mahaprabhu, little Nimai, and his friends were. They were little puppies, all brothers and sister from mother dog. So one little puppy dog came wandering to Nimai and crawled upon his lap. And Nimai liked him very much and started to pet with him and play with him and just showing him so much affection. And meanwhile, the other Brahmin children, they began to criticize. Nimai, what are you doing? That dog is dirty. You should not be touching a dog. You are a Brahmin. You are meant to uphold the highest standards of cleanliness. You should get rid of that dog. And Nimai said, no, this dog is my friend. Just as you are my friends, this dog is my friend, and I will play with my dog. He said, no, Nimai, You are going to disrepute. You are going to cause disrepute for the Brahmin class by playing with this dog. But Nimai just left his friends with the dog, very affectionately playing with him. And he took him home to Sachi Devi's house and was in his room playing with little puppy dog. And Sachi Mata came to offer some prasad to Nimai, and she came in and she saw that he's playing with a dog in the house. She said, "Nimai, get this dog out of this house. You are not supposed to have dogs in the house. This is not clean. We are Brahmins. We should not be doing like this." Nimai said, "This dog is my friend. If the dog goes, I go. If this dog is not allowed in my house, then I will also not live in this house." So he left with the dog. And Sachi Devi said, no, you come back. Anything, you stay home, you can have your dog, anything, be happy, Nimai." So what happened is Sachi Devi prepared food. Nimai insisted that you make enough for my friend. She made enough for his friend, puppy dog. And like this, he was having nice, loving friendship with his new dog friend. Somehow or other, the dog was playing outside. Nimai was engaged in some activity, and the dog's mother, who was very worried about him, came and found him and took the dog away, puppy dog. Took him across the Ganges to what is now Navadvip. At that time it was Koladweep. Took to the to Navadweep Dam. No, actually took to the city of Navadweep. And when Nimai came out and looked for the dog, could not find. And he became very angry. He said, "Sachi Devi, what did you do with my dog? What did you do with my puppy? I will leave this place. I will never come back. Why you have taken this puppy dog away?" She said, "No, Nimai, I did not take him away." I said, "Well, you find him. Otherwise, I will not eat. I will not live in this house." So Sachi Devi began to look frantically everywhere. She was sending her friends, messengers everywhere, all over Navadvip, looking for this dog. Meanwhile, what happened is this little baby puppy dog was brought by the mother to the city of Navadvip. And all of a sudden, he just started trembling in ecstatic love, and tears started flowing from his eyes. And he got on his hind legs and lifted his front paws up in the air and began to dance. And he began to chant in human language, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And then he began to dance through the streets of Navadvip, chanting very loudly, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." As he was dancing so gracefully, he was dancing just like Lord Chaitanya himself. And people saw this. And anyone who heard the beautiful chanting of this puppy dog and saw his beautiful dance immediately became attracted and came behind him and started raising their arms and chanting and dancing. And as he was going through the streets of Navadvip, soon hundreds and thousands of people were following behind this little puppy dog chanting the kirtan of the holy name, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." In this way, there was wonderful, massive sankirtan through the streets as everyone was simply captivated by the charming poses of this dancing dog. And then the puppy dog came toward the river Ganges, and he laid down and died, left his body. His soul immediately went back to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And the people, they made a samadhi for this puppy dog because they considered him such a great Vaishnava. And this way, when the news reached the ears of Nimai, he was very satisfied. So through this wonderful example, actually Chaitanya Mangala, there's an entire chapter dedicated to this story of Lord Chaitanya's empowering a puppy dog to lead the Sankirtan of the holy name. Mahaprabhu wanted to illustrate and give emphasis to this point, that there is no question of material qualification or disqualification in spiritual life. If someone is simply submissive to receive the blessings of the great personalities, they can always remember Krishna and be divinely empowered to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. So here we are reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Jai and Vijay were being cursed to take birth as demons in this world. But because they were devotees of the Lord, even in the guise of demons, they would be inducing everyone to always remember Krishna. And it is a fact. If you read the words of Hiranyakashipu, he was constantly talking about his passionate, intense desire to kill Vishnu. Shishupal was constantly blaspheming Krishna. In this way, these demons were constantly reminding people of Krishna. So, a devotee of the Lord, in any situation, according to the Lord's will, is always anxious to help the Lord's mission. Whatever situation, whatever predicament we're put in, we should always be seeing an opportunity to assist the mission of our spiritual master in Krishna. And if we simply open our hearts and open our minds in this way, then the supreme mercy of the Lord will guide our every step in life. And how to aspire in this most glorious path of bhakti? Simply to be humble and to be submissive, to receive the blessings of the great souls by hearing from them, and by taking their first and foremost instruction as our life and soul, and that is to somehow or other keep the association of saintly people and always remember Krishna. Is there any questions?
It is said that we should not preach to people who don't have faith, right? Because they are very envious. So is there anything wrong, like suppose if these people think about Krishna some other way, in anger they are thinking about Krishna. So how is it good? Like, it's not supposed to tell them because they commit offense and here it is.
You see, it is not that we do not try to preach to them, but we have to learn the best way of preaching to them. If you feed milk and bananas to a serpent, it only increases its poison. Similarly, to preach the intimate glories of the holy name and the intimate pastimes of the Lord and the intimate philosophy of the Lord to people who are simply antagonistic will not only make the situation where they offend Krishna, but they also offend his devotees. Therefore, although there is some benefit in their remembering Krishna, there will also be a tremendous amount of punishment inflicted upon them for their offenses against the Vaishnavas. Therefore, if we somehow or other, we should not preach the intimate glories of Krishna's name to them. We should preach to them in another way, by our kindness to them, if they will receive it. They know that we're devotees. By the Sankirtan in the streets of the holy name, they hear the name directly. They cannot understand the glories of the name. They're too envious. But they can hear the name. Nowhere does it say that we should refrain from chanting the holy name in the presence of anyone. The offense is to preach the intimate glories of the name to people who are envious. So by prasad distribution, by Harinam Sankirtan, by these types of activities like we are doing here, these are very favorable, positive ways that the demoniac class of men can become Krishna conscious. But we should not waste our time trying to explain detailed philosophy to people who are not willing to listen. Do you understand? Is there any other questions? Yes. If those two, three chapatis are offered to Krishna, don't worry about it. If it brings sleep, then you know it's sense gratification. It's not a thin line, it's obvious. You eat four chapatis and you go out and do nice preaching, then that's not sense gratification. But if you go to sleep, then it's sense gratification. It's easy to understand. But it's usually not because you eat four chapatis, it's because you eat halwa and kheer and jalebis and pakoras and all these other things that you go to sleep. So therefore it is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that a devotee should not eat luxuriously. Should eat on a regular basis. Sometimes on special feast days we honor the Lord's prasad, which may be very luxurious. But on a regular basis we should... Vishwarup, I need to talk with him before... He shouldn't go. Okay. But on a regular basis, we should eat simple. We should dress simple. If we are at all sincere, it is very easy to know when we're indulging in sense gratification and when we're not. And even though eating may taste good, if you're eating simple foods to nourish your body for the purpose of service to the Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, take prasad to your full satisfaction. Right? that we're not supposed to enjoy. It's that we're not enjoying separate from Krishna consciousness. Factually, there is no greater sense gratification than a wonderful kirtan. Correct? Your ears, your eyes, every one of your senses is just enjoying to the highest limit. I mean, no pleasure in this world from eating succulent foods to having sex life can compare to a wonderful kirtan of the holy name. Of course, I don't have too much personal experience of this, but I'm sure many of you do. There is such a wonderful sense enjoyment in the holy name kirtan. What to speak of the sense gratification the devotees were deriving by serving these Brijbasis? They are completely fulfilled and satisfied, all their senses, right? Sarvapadi vaniramuktam tatparatvena nirmala rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate. That by engaging one's senses positively, according to the guidance of the spiritual master in the service of Krishna, we achieve such a sense gratification that we are no longer concerned with the lower sinful forms of sense gratification of this material world. To give up sense gratification means to give up all things that are unfavorable for devotional service. To accept those things that are favorable for devotional service. Any other questions? Yes? Have you ever found anywhere in the world where this does not exist? Any society? First of all, is it discrimination, or is it just simply reciprocation amongst intimate friends? Is it actually discrimination? If it is, it's wrong. But it's natural within any society, even spiritual societies, that you have certain people who are intimately your friends, who you could really relate to in a very loving, intimate way. Right? And others you may be offering all respect, but you may not have such natural friendship with them. Correct? Refuse to allow a person into our society or into our friendships because of a person's particular material disqualifications or different qualifications, say, then that is not good. I would not say so much it's discrimination. I would just say that there's certain long-term friendships that have been developed amongst people, and it's just not, just to enter into those friendships doesn't always happen naturally and immediately. But in due course of time, certainly that person will, if that person is a kind and gentle devotee, enter into these loving friendships of circles of devotees. Don't you think? I would not say it's discrimination. If we are discriminating, we should give it up. Actually, if we really want to be proper Vaishnavas, then such people should be especially encouraged by everyone to come closer to the family of devotees. I would not say it's discrimination, but I would say it is a lack of proper concern. There's a difference. Discrimination is a deliberate negative approach to a particular person, right? I would say it is not discrimination, but it is carelessness. The devotees simply are neglecting to be properly aware of the needs of new people who come into our congregation. And we should certainly improve on that, each and every one of us.
Any other questions?